your host, Tofu Dave, with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station, WCOM-FM, Chapel Hill and Carver. Today I have on the line the author of If I Don't Return, A Father's Wartime Journal, by Lieutenant General Retired Mark Hertling. Mark, are you on the line?
I am, Dave, and it's great to be with you today.
Well, you know, I read your book with interest. It's both detailed, emotional, and both reassuring and disturbing, I have to tell you. Both. You wrote it sort of as notes in your deployment in the early 90s, 1991, if I have the dates right, to Iraq.
That's correct.
And you wrote it initially as a personal journal to your two sons. How did you make the transition from something you sort of wrote for yourself and your family to a book that you published for everybody?
Well, it was at the influence of our youngest son, who, if I can explain the story very quickly, in 1990 and 91, our unit was the unit I was assigned to, a cavalry squadron in the 1st Armored Division that was located in Germany, were told that we were going to deploy no notice to Iraq to participate in first Operation Desert Shield and then Operation Desert Storm. But before we left, because of the mission of our unit, we were told our 900-person cavalry squadron would probably suffer 50% casualties in that war. As a father of two young boys that were 7 and 10 at the time, and a wife that I had been married to for about 12 years, it certainly concerned me that I might not ever see them again, that I had a coin flip chance of coming home and see the boys grow up. So I started keeping a journal during that deployment, and it wasn't just a journal about the war, it was a journal about life. And I tried to teach our young sons, if I didn't come home, things like morals and ethics and values, the differences between different emotions, how they should pick a mate that is good for them, a lifelong mate. And then I got into the description of the war once we were committed into combat. And then the third section of the book was about the post-war operations we conducted over a period of time. And, you know, here's the spoiler alert, Dave. I did come home, as you can imagine. And the journal that I kept, our sons, who were still 7 and 10 at the time, were not all that interested in hearing the musings of their father. So I threw it into a footlocker.
They're too young.
Yeah. Yeah, so I threw it into a footlocker, and it was forgotten for the next 35 years. Our youngest son, who is also a combat veteran now, as well as our older son, he asked my wife one day where that journal was that I kept during Desert Storm after he had experienced combat. And he took it about 3 years ago, and as a gift to me, he typed it up into a Word document and inserted pictures. And on Christmas morning of 2024, he gave it to me as a gift. And as you can imagine, it's the first time I saw it in 35 years. And it was an emotional event for me, looking through those pages and reliving the sights and sounds and smells and thoughts of that time so many years ago, even after I had gone to combat a couple of more time in 2003 and again in 2007. And he said to me when he gave it to me, he said, "Dad, my brother and I both see what you were doing here. You were trying to prepare us in case you didn't come home with life's knowledge." He said, "But now you have 5 grandsons, and perhaps you can take your experience over the last 35 years and expand the journal." So I did that. And I wrote it in about a 6-month period of time. Not a whole lot of research. I just wrote what I had experienced about the same subjects that I wrote about back in 1991 and expanded on them based on what I had learned, and gave it to 2 people, and they both said, "Hey, you should publish this thing." And one of them was our youngest son, who gave me the original manuscript. And I sent it off to a publisher, and I said, take a look at this and see what you think. Is this something that might generate interest in the general public? And he, as most publishers do, as I'm sure you know more than most, he said, sure, I'll get back to you in a couple of weeks after I take a look at it, and I'll let you know what I think. Well, he called the very next morning at 8 o'clock, and he said, hey, Mark, he said, I've been reading this all night long. He said, it is a page turner. I like it, and I think we need to publish this because it does not only talk about combat, but it also talks about things the American people don't know about, like what do families go through? What kind of emotions do soldiers have? It goes beyond what we normally see in a wartime journal. So he published it, and he published it, and it's doing well.
Well, you know, let me step in here. Again, the book is If I Don't Return, A Father's Wartime Journal, Mark Hertling, Hertling, Ballast Press, just out, an interesting book. And Mark, this is a quickie, so I want to push on here, and I want to turn to a couple things that you said that I think would interest our Chapel Hill intellectual audience. You talked about, you know, ethics, morality, how to live an honorable life, that you wanted to impart to your sons and now to the public. And I know you also, in past years, your bio says you were a commentator on CNN for a little bit. So I'm going to jump in and ask you some things, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to anyway. How do you mix in being honorable with sometimes having to fight for a cause that may not entirely be completely just in the political sense? There are, you know, we're going back now 20, 30 years to Iraq, Iran, et cetera. There have been many questions raised of should our government and our presidents have ever sent troops into that type of situation. And I guess I can't, you know, completely put you on the spot, because you are an honorable man and you led an honorable life. But what do you do with that contradiction where maybe afterwards you reflect back and, gee, should we have been sent there?
Yeah.
How do you respond to that kind of thought?
Well, and it's a tough question, and I'll provide a little bit of obfuscation in my answer, in that, you know, the U.S. military, in a democratic society, when you elect civilian leaders, the military is under the control of those leaders. And you depend on them making the right decisions, making the right calls on what they do in terms of sending the military to combat, and asking them to do things that are uniquely stressful and in some cases stretch the boundaries of human thought and what we are asked to do. But the only thing the military can do then is follow legal orders, not follow unlawful ones, and rebel against those unlawful orders, and we are trained to do that. But as a senior retired military guy, what I tell you is we put a lot of thought into those questions. When do we stand up and say no? When do we try and influence political leaders in ways where they think more astutely about sending our nation's sons and daughters into conflict? We can question their judgment, but if it's a legal order to go somewhere and conduct combat operations based on our democratic society, we have to do that and do it the best way possible. But that's part of the purpose of the book, is to understand different cultures, to understand what you're getting into, to realize the implications of strategy and how you apply that in the tactical and operational realm. I know none of that is a really good answer, but if we're to function as a society and our elected officials, elected by the majority of people, tell us to do something, the role of the military is, if it's legal, then we must do it. Not a very satisfying answer in some cases. And truthfully, Dave, I'll tell you, there have been times when I've questioned whether or not we should go to war in different situations. But well, again, being a military leader, you do what your government tells you to do.
Well, Mark Hertling, author of If I Don't Return, A Father's Wartime Journal, that really is not such a bad answer. You know, we could delve into current politics in minute detail, but that's not something we just have the time for. So I think you've set the stage for, though, that kind of a discussion. One other difficult question for you then. You know, you're back. You're retired. You're out of the military.
Mm-hmm.
Some of what I reflected on when reading your book and thinking about it is, how do we translate some of these questions into everyday life? For example, I was in some really horrible traffic yesterday evening in downtown Durham, and boy, people were getting a little heated, and it's, hey, you know, it's just traffic. Give it a break. And I'm not perfect either, so, you know, it spills over. Some of what you write about to me also has to do with just how can you train yourself or your children to, let me almost put it in biblical terms, treat others as they would have others treat them. That seems to just in daily life be a difficult thing, not only for us to do ourselves, but to transmit to our children. To some extent, you were also trying to talk about that sort of thing to your
children. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I still talk about it today, Dave. I teach an MBA course at a local university here in Florida. And one of the first things I talk about in leadership is determining your values and how you apply them. And your incident in traffic the other day, you know, we tend to get road rage very quickly because we get mad and we want to get someplace and we get angry and we start shouting at other people and flipping them off and all those kind of things. Well, that kind of shows a lack of respect for fellow human beings. Even when sometimes they don't deserve that respect, our job is to live by our values, which should be humility, respect for others. It's not only our values or what should be our values, but it's our nation's values as well. Sometimes we don't live up to those values. Sometimes we forget about what our founding documents say and what the speeches of great men like, great men and women like, Martin Luther King or Kennedy or Lincoln or Roosevelt have told us about what we should believe in as a nation. And one of those values that's both in our documents and what we've talked about is respect for our fellow citizens, all of our fellow citizens, and an understanding of them that sometimes we forget about in the heat of the moment. So hopefully next time I'm in a road rage incident, I can calm myself down and say, well, maybe that person in the other car that just cut me off is having a bad day and I got to give them a little bit of leeway. But that's hard to do as part of human nature, especially in today's environment.
Correct, correct. And none of us are perfect. You're not, I'm not, and certainly that guy who cut us off in traffic, he or she is not. is not either.
Right.
Anyway, If I Don't Return, A Father's Wartime Journal by Mark Hertling, H-E-R-T-L-I-N-G. Mark, it's been a pleasure to chat with you today on Between the Covers. Any last words for the intellectually thoughtful UNC-based Chapel Hill, Carbra listening audience?
Well, I have to, first of all, wish them well and not paying any disrespect to the UNC listening audience, but our oldest son went to Wake Forest, so I'm very familiar with the area and the great people and the great competitions you have in that particular space between the different schools. But thank you for providing this opportunity, Dave. I'm trying to maybe take a look at the foibles of modern society through the lens of a 1991 war and help people better understand what soldiers and their families do. So thank you for pushing my book to your listening audience, and I wish everyone in the UNC area the best for the rest of the day.
Thank you again, Mark Hertling, author of If I Don't Return, A Father's Wartime Journal. And this has been another edition of Between the Covers, a Literature Quickie, with your host, Tofu Dave, on Community Radio WCOM-FM, Chapel Hill at Carver. Back at you next time with another provocative